Okay, it is 5 p.m. on January 27, 2021. It's the regular meeting of the Sewage Commission Orville Region. Manager Sturdivant, roll call, please.
Commissioner Reynolds.
Here.
Commissioner Pittman.
Here.
Commissioner Hatley.
Here.
Commissioner LaTulip.
Here.
Commissioner Keener.
Absent.
Commissioner Fairbanks.
Here.
Okay, all commissioners are present except for Commissioner Keener. If we could stand for the flag salute. Salute. Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Number four, acknowledgement of visitors. So I'll read this since we have some individuals will be given this, the opportunity to address the board on matters not scheduled on the agenda. No action will be taken on these matters. Comments on items scheduled on the agenda may be made as the board considers them. Visitor comments may be limited to 5 minutes per Government Code Section 54954.3. So I know we have some visitors here. When the agenda item comes up, which I'm actually going to move up since we have visitors to get it dealt with and stuff. So, but we will jump down to 5 board meeting minutes.
Yeah, the board meeting minutes. So those are the minutes for last meetings, or last board meetings minutes. I'm so sorry. I am just tongue-tied right now. So yeah.
I make a motion that we accept.
There you go. I was struggling. Thank you. Thank
I figured
you,
I'd let him go for
thank you, Mayor. I appreciate that.
I'll second it. Okay, motion's been made by Commissioner Reynolds, seconded by Commissioner Fairbanks to approve the regular meeting minutes of December 16, 2020 and special meeting January 7th, 2021. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Okay. We'll go authorization of warrants real quick. Number 6.
Yes, Commissioner Pittman and I went over the warrants yesterday. I believe we found that they were all in order.
We did find them all in order, but I would add that as staff made a note in one particular regular bill, they found that the numbers were off and was a considerable savings.
Yes.
I think it was the electrical supply issue. It was just a matter of how many units were purchased versus how much should be paid. And I think that was almost an $1,800 save.
Yeah, Lori caught that. She caught that one.
I want to make note that the staff did catch that.
Good.
Appreciate that.
Do you have an amount?
The amount comes to for January 27th, 2021 of $143,755.79, and the warrants are numbered from 26526 through 26527, including the commissioner's checks of 9920-9925 and electronic fund transfers.
Okay. I will second it. So a motion's been made by Commissioner Pittman, seconded by myself, Commissioner Hatley, to approve the authorization of warrants. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Okay. We'll do fiscal reports real quick, and then we'll jump to 11.
Yes, the fiscal reports are included in your packet, and we went over them, and everything looks like it is in order there as well.
Okay. Does anybody have any comments or questions regarding the fiscal reports?
I make a motion that we accept the fiscal reports.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay. Motion made by Commissioner Reynolds, seconded by Commissioner Fairbanks to approve the fiscal reports. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained? Okay. We're going to jump down to 11, legal services. We will consider contract options for legal services of the SCORE Board of Commissioners, and there is action requested. I'd like to start off by saying that we discussed this again in our last board meeting in closed session. It was consensus of our board for independent counsel down here SCORE and to not utilize any other attorney that currently represents a member, whether it be ours Lopez or Orville's. So that was our direction. We also talked and felt like maybe we didn't do our due diligence at SCORE to look for outside counsel. And so that was a consideration that I think we should look at. The policy needs to be addressed of seeing if there's anything out there, and maybe there isn't, but at least kind of shake the tree on that. So that's kind of what we've discussed. We have some other issues that I think our legal counsel for Thermalito would like to speak on as well. I'd like to hear from any of the other commissioners prior to the public comments.
What was the concern of Thermalito Water and Sewer?
The legal counsel, conflict of interest. That we just felt that there needed to be kind of a separation between the legal services. I believe SCORE's always had independent counsel, and we just feel like that would be a good direction moving forward, just so there would be no issues ever that arise with the conflict of interest.
Can you explain the conflict of interest?
Well, we have an issue on our board with having it, so I would say that's a conflict already, that all three entities may not be in agreement on legal counsel.
But no legal issue?
No, legally, I don't think there's any legal issue. Our attorney probably could speak on that way better than I can, since I'm not a lawyer. He could bring up his concerns that he addressed our board with. Jeff, would you like to weigh in?
Yeah, and Scott and I have discussed this twice via telephone. Conflict of interest is a matter that's addressed in the rules of professional conduct of the California Bar. It's set forth in section 1.7, and it basically prohibits a lawyer from taking on a matter where there's a direct conflict of interest without the consent of the clients. Where there is a possibility of conflict, it also requires and recommends that there be, number one, first, a written disclosure of the potential conflicts, and then a written consent signed by the client acknowledging the potential conflicts and indicating that despite that, we consent to the representation. So fundamental is that to Scott and me as professionals is we have to be very, very sensitive to the potential conflicts of interest. And in that regard, if we do believe that there is a conflict, we have to either decline representation or we have to indicate, well, we believe on the following grounds that even though there are potential conflicts of interest, we can proceed to represent you. The problem is if we do proceed with representation based on written consent in light of potential conflicts, and conflicts do arise, then our job is not only to terminate our representation of the entity, but also we have to terminate our relationship with the client that pre-existed our taking on the representation of the entity on that one item, and possibly on further matters. So conflicts of interest are very, very, very present in the mind of Scott, in my mind. And the question is, as the city attorney, is there a potential conflict of interest in Scott representing SCORE as well? I'm glad Ray is here because I started working with Thermalito in 1982, and I think if my recollection serves me right, that sometime after that, Ray started working for SCORE. Ray made the right decision. He retired before I did. I'm still working, and so I think that somehow I'm stupid.
I'm back.
Do you have an example of the conflict of interest that you can share with us?
Well, I was just getting to that. Because I went through my files. I've been with Thermalito. Whenever I get into a situation that potentially could lead to litigation or conflict involving Thermalito, I will create a separate file for that. So I went through my files for Thermalito that related to SCORE. Let me just go historically. Most of these probably predate many of you. Let me put my glasses on. The earliest I had was industrial pretreatment program. I had one for infill and infiltration. I had one for sewer capacity. I had one for the sidewalks at SCORE. I have most recently one involving land annexation, where the city was annexing land to Thermalito. I have one related to the Oro Bay development. I have one related to engineers for SCORE, a change, I think it was CH2M Hill and Dan Cook. And now I have one for the attorney here. So those were situations where in many of those files there were there was correspondence exchanged between Thermalito and SCORE. Some of the correspondence was what I would probably characterize as heated. I believe that any one of those potentially could have gone to actual conflict. The result of all of those is to say that cooler minds prevailed, and that actual conflict was avoided, and the parties backed off of that. I have some recollection that I'm the engineer that maybe it got a little more sticky, but I'm glad Ray's here.
So I appreciate that, Mr. Carter, and I don't want to get off in the weeds in anything, and anything has potential to get heated, even this conversation. But my question is, that was a conflict with you as legal counsel with SCORE? And what happened?
No. It was a conflict between Thermalito Water and Sewer District,
yes,
for which I was the attorney,
uh-huh,
and SCORE, which SCORE,
okay,
had its own attorney.
There was a conflict, and you disclosed the conflict when it occurred?
I was involved in representing Thermalito and its conflict with, mm-hmm, SCORE, and in its dealings with SCORE. So there was a conflict between Thermalito and SCORE,
okay,
not between me and SCORE, and I was advising.
But
my
you represent
Thermalito.
Them.
Yes,
uh-huh. I understand.
I do recall. I think it was around 2005, 2006, 2007, right there. There was an occasion when SCORE had to engage the Manation firm to provide legal work, I think because Legal Battle didn't feel comfortable doing it. And I was going through some files that I had, and in fact it's a minutes November 19, 2008 of SCORE, and there was a report on that. The advisory committee has, this is represented in the minutes, the advisory committee had several recommendations before the board regarding developer agreements, and a brief discussion was held on the request to hire a Manation law firm to assist on creating the developer agreement. After the discussion, Commissioner Frazier made the following motion: to hire a Manation to assist with the developer agreement. B, to sign the conflict of interest waiver with the Manation law firm, which confirms the fact that those waivers are mandatory upon we attorneys, and authorizing manager Souza to execute the contract with the Manation law firm. So conflicts of interest are just a matter of fact where you have multi-party entities, an attorney who has a relationship with one or more of the entities comprising that multi-party. Scott will tell you about an airport commission that he represents down in Southern California, where he represents the commission plus two of the members.
So what I'm, and sir, I don't mean to keep interrupting, but the, so what I'm hearing from you is there was one situation involving SCORE, and it was actually handled amicably, and everybody moved on, right? It was disclosed?
Yes.
And,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Everyone's professionals here.
Yes, and that could very well happen here. Mm-hmm. Scott will, if you're looking at hiring Scott, I consider Scott a consummate professional. I consider him a consummate ethical professional. Scott and I go back a ways. The fact of the matter is this. Scott is in a potential situation where in advising the city and advising Thermalito, there is the potential.
Advising SCORE.
There is the potential that it could be seen as trying to serve the interests of two masters. Let me tell you how serious this is. Here's the rules of professional conduct.
Can I ask a question? Was that the Manassian law firm you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
yes,
thank you.
And that was an
I was actually involved in those meetings, so I recall those.
So this is directly from the Bible that Scott and I adhere to, and it's a section under the Rule 1.7 that deals with conflicts of interest, and it goes to an entity representation. Even where there is no direct adversity, a conflict of interest requiring informed written consent under paragraph B exists if there is a significant risk that a lawyer's ability to consider, recommend, or carry out an appropriate course of action for the client will be materially limited as a result of the lawyer's other responsibilities, interests, or relationships, whether legal, business, financial, professional, or personal. For example, a lawyer's obligation to two or more clients in the same matter, such as several individuals seeking to form a joint venture, which of course SCORE is, may materially limit the lawyer's ability to recommend or advocate all possible positions that each might take because of the lawyer's duty of loyalty to the other clients. The lawyer owes, first and foremost, a duty of loyalty and independent judgment to his clients. The bar in preparing this rule, the very first comment says, the duty of undivided loyalty to a current client prohibits undertaking representation adverse to the client without the client's informed written consent. So clients are something that aren't taken lightly. Now, Thermalito is cognizant that probably as legal counsel for the city, Scott's firm is rewarded financially more than what the firm will make representing SCORE, that the duty is. And so these are just some of the concerns. Oral Bay, there was, there were, to my recollection of that, and I know that hasn't become a reality, that there was concern about rates that were committed to the development. Annexation is always a possible
Mr. Carter, can I ask you, the Bible that you're referring mm-hmm. to there, is there an oath somewhere in there?
Is there an oath?
Yeah. Did you take an oath as an
yes,
attorney?
I did. Uh-huh.
You did?
Yeah.
So did Mr. Huber?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have absolutely.
Do you believe him to be of low character or integrity not to honor that?
I believe, Chuck, that I started off by saying that I have the utmost respect for Scott, and I know him to be a consummate professional and a consummate ethical professional.
Thank you.
I don't want any dispute on that.
Mm-hmm.
Scott and I go back. What I'm saying is, and Scott will be the first one to tell you, there is always the potential of conflict, and attorneys have to be cognizant of it. The Manassian firm was cognizant enough to require you to consent to its being a potential conflict before it took on representation. I know Scott will be doing that. I just went through some RFPs to see how they addressed for legal fees. Auburn Area Recreation and Park District. RFP. You can go online and find this, just as I did. Introduction, second paragraph of the second page after the title page of this RFP. They're talking about general information. Quote, the desired firm will not represent, conduct business, or have an agreement with any organization that does business with the district. So I'm not saying that Scott is in a conflict. I'm saying that conflicts are something that every attorney has to be mindful of, and if there is a potential conflict, that attorney immediately has to cease representing the two clients in which there is a conflict.
Without conflicts, we wouldn't need attorneys, right?
Yes, that's a much bigger issue.
Okay.
I'd like to hear from Scott.
Sure. I don't disagree with what he said, with what Mr. Carter said, except for just one item. The last thing he said was, where there's a conflict, you have to, you know, step out. Not necessarily. You have to disclose it. If the parties agree to it, then the parties have agreed to it, eyes wide open. And let me give you the example. The reason why the Manassian firm had to sign a conflict was, I believe, they represented Thermalito previously.
They were Lopez's attorney.
I knew it was one of them.
Uh-huh.
Look, I recognize these things may come up. I can tell you, and as was mentioned, I think I mentioned it when I was last here, there is a possibility for conflicts to come up. And I'm not going to compromise my integrity, and I'm not going to compromise my ethics. And if it comes up, you'll know about it. You'll know about it as soon as it comes up. And then you'll get some advice as to, do you want to continue? Do you want to get outside counsel? Do you want to get someone else? I can tell you I went back and I looked. It was 2012 when I started working for the San Bernardino International Airport Authority. We represent two of the member entities in that organization. To date, I have yet to require to have the rules of ethics require that I disclose any conflict among those. It doesn't. Can it happen? Sure. Does it happen? Not very often. Now, I am not naive to think that it's never going to happen. Those that do that, I think, quickly find themselves in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll keep the radar open. Having said that, again, if this board decides, you know, to go a different direction, look, we part as friends. I have no issue with that. The road ahead is uncharted. Do I know whether there are going to be conflicts? Have no idea. But I know that if there are, you'll know about it.
Well, and Scott, with your firm, if you have a conflict as an attorney, you have other attorneys that you can assign.
No, it actually imputes to the whole firm.
Okay.
Right. Now, having said that, while it does impute to the whole firm, if there is a conflict in some instances, you'll look at it and say, you know what, you've disclosed it. As long as you are candid with us about everything you know, then it isn't going to be an issue. We'll waive it and we move forward. I have seen them, as the managing partner of our firm, I have seen them come across my desk for other attorneys in other areas. Mm-hmm. Very often, no,
yeah.
Not at all. But does it happen? Sure.
This is an interesting discussion because we just got out of ethics training this afternoon at the city, and you think you have a conflict. An elected official's got more conflicts every time we make a vote.
Yeah.
To make sure we're not here, there, or wherever, every time, if it's our personal interest or some family interest or whatever, we are constantly dealing with that. And even more so after the training today, it's like, oh, boy.
Scott and I discussed that very same issue today. As I'm thinking of this, I'm saying, if, for example, Trevor was in a business that was even remote, was going to be putting in a contract for work with SCORE. And the vote was going to be made as to whether SCORE should hire this company. Trevor would have to announce his interest, advise that it was a conflict of interest for him to vote, remove himself from the room, recuse himself from voting, remove himself from the room, and leave it, because even his being in the room could be deemed to be a means of persuasion for you to vote for him. Now, I asked Scott this morning, I said, Scott, Ken Orville, is that type of situation similar? Is Orville, as a member of SCORE, in a situation where by promoting your firm and asking that it be the attorney for SCORE, that he has to Orville has to recuse itself from the vote? And Scott said, no, I don't think that's the case. There's no financial interest involved. And so he and I disagree on that. So you talk about conflicts. I'm here to tell you that two attorneys oftentimes can disagree on things. The concern is, if I were the attorney for SCORE, would the city and would LOPUD be wondering in recommendations that I was making whether I was promoting SCORE's interests or Thermalito's interests? Would I be confusing the issue myself by thinking that what's good for SCORE is good for Thermalito, so therefore what's good for Thermalito is good for SCORE? Those are the type of issues that we attorneys go through when we're analyzing a conflict of interest. I know Scott has done that. He and I have reached different decisions. That's not to say that mine is correct and his is wrong or vice versa. I'm just here to tell you that Thermalito has concluded after hearing and discussing concerns about conflicts that it feels that the potential of a conflict is great enough that at a very minimum SCORE ought to perhaps look for other legal counsel.
Appreciate that.
Is there any other comments from the visitors on this?
I'd like to add to that if I can. First of all, Jamie Boucher, Thermalito Water and Sewer District General Manager. I've been at this now for about 27 years, and I've seen different things and listened to different things that have came up along the way. I do respect each and every one of you elected officials that sit on this commission. However, in the mix of this, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not gonna go into the legal stuff that everybody else is talking about. But knowing that there is a potential conflict of interest, as we keep hearing here, why would we want to put this commission in that spot to where we possibly would have to seek outside counsel? Why do that? The second thing is you guys have done a lot of work here in the last 45 days, 2 months, with new management, to be worried about the existing counsel that you had represented to this. And here we're stuck on one council. Knowing that there's concerns from other member entities that sit on this commission, why haven't we done our due diligence here? Why haven't we went out with an RFP to look at other council? Well, if Scott's firm could be the best thing since sliced bread, but have we even looked anywhere else? No. All I've heard about is, you know, what his fees are, no travel time from different individuals that are in the know of this whole situation. But I just asked you guys, have you guys done your due diligence in seeking this process?
All right. And that's what we discussed at our board, and we don't feel that we have.
I don't feel you have, but that's just my opinion in it.
Ray, would you like to speak on this at all?
Yeah, I can say a few things here. I've been through numerous conflicts. I've witnessed all four attorneys around this table numerous times. I would lean towards independent counsel. You don't take anything from you. But the bottom line is this. SCORE, the JPAs are inherent to have conflict. I've worked with Tahoe, I've worked with St. Paul, Minnesota. They all JPU, they all have problems. We've all discussed it. But here's the thing. As for, it's your six that have to make the decision. Whichever way it goes, life doesn't stop. But I'll give you some history so you can make an informed decision. Okay. The one I was most actively in was you. When you, me, and Jeff met the building, and you made the statement in the meeting, David, that the city had not collected SCORE's connection fees for all the Butte Housing Authority that cost us $250,000. Jeff, you know, and you just, all you did was inform us.
Yeah.
When you walked out the door, Jeff just turned to me and said, okay, ethically, as an attorney, I have to notify Leo of this. I didn't know what to do. I'm a sewer plant manager.
Yeah.
But immediately, and you were there, and immediately that took precedence over everything. And then we got, what was your attorney from Paradise name again?
Dwight Moore.
Dwight. Bingo. Dwight, you were here, everybody.
Right.
We lost $250,000 on that gig. Mm-hmm. But Jeff took himself outside. The developer agreement stopped. Stopped twice. Stopped for that once. And then the previous one, when I got a phone call from Jeff, because we were starting to put it together, and he says, Ray, I can't help you anymore right now, and here's why. And I love the way Jeff talked. He's magnificent. Mm-hmm. He goes, the firm, which is Manassian, it has to frame a letter of this conflict agreement. Mm-hmm. What do you call it, conflict of?
Yeah.
Conflict of interest.
Yeah, that waiver thing. As you know, I'm not an attorney. The waiver thing. So anyhow, that stopped it, put it dead in its tracks, because Manassian wasn't going to move forward until there was a... So there was something there that upset LOPUD, not upset them, but brought it to their attention. And LOPUD's committee was my committee for the developer agreements. Mm-hmm. And Keith Frazier, who was there, said, he came to me and said, our attorney can't work for you. And I said, well, that's what Jeff did. So anyhow, it stopped twice. Once for that, and once for the issue with the Butte County Housing Authority.
Right.
The other issues that took place was a few years before I came here, when North Burbank gave away hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of lots for free on Kelly Ridge. Your dad was part of that. Mm-hmm. He can tell you. That went to arbitration. So as a manager, I guess my question would be, if SCORE had to arbitrate the city, who would arbitrate who? And that's the only action, the only, I guess, action you can take in the joint powers agreement that you're given. It's on the last page. I don't know how it works. I'm not an attorney. So we did have other conflicts. TID, before it was twisted, went after me personally on an issue in regards to capacity at SCORE, in which we settled that once I proved that I had done my due diligence and I was wiped clean from the comments made and the letters written. So yeah, it's been here. We've almost came to arbitration in 2009 over an issue with I&I, with the city. And one thing about SCORE, it's an equal opportunity conflictor. It conflicts with everybody. It conflicted with North Burbank, with Twisted, with the city, only because that's how JPAs are made up. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their own ideas, their own visions of how they should be. And so you end up settling it usually here.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
So when committee member Pittman brought that information to the board, was he on this committee representing the city of Oroville? Mm-hmm. Who was you representing?
I was staff on the city. I was fire chief.
Staff on the city.
No, but you were a councilman.
You were councilman.
Yeah, you were councilman.
So you represented the city.
Yeah, okay. Jeff, remember in his office?
Okay. Okay. Got you. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know how else you'd be here, but so you were with the city and you were with SCORE. And you came.
No, I wasn't with SCORE.
Wasn't with SCORE.
Uh-huh. Okay. No, he just asked.
I think what I'm hearing is with. Because I've worked with Scott, I trust him. He's of the utmost integrity, above reproach. But what I'm hearing is you would hear the news first if there was a conflict, because he would let us know.
Yeah,
because he knows inside and out. He wouldn't, I mean, this is a man who took an oath.
Yeah.
He's not going to say, hey, let's do this to get over on these guys, and just like Jeff wouldn't.
I'm not speaking towards Scott. I was speaking towards mm-hmm. Jeff Meath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, he was representing these gentlemen, and he was the one that had the concerns.
And they let you know when they did. That's what I'm saying. They took an oath. They'll let you know.
It's actually a perfect example of how conflicts of interest work. Mm-hmm. When it arises, you hit the pause button and you disclose it to everybody. Mm-hmm. And you ask everybody, do you want me to keep going or do you want someone else? And if you want someone else, great, then the pause button is stayed. If everybody with eyes wide open says, let's all come to the table and okay, great, then fine, then you sign the conflict waivers and then we're done. That's actually an example of how it works. Let me give you just another example. And again, I'm not lobbying. I'm just going to be very candid with you. If you have an attorney that represented, I'll just use it as an example, a manufacturer in their past, and that manufacturer suddenly bids on a project here, now you're going to have a conflict. Even though you have independent counsel, you're still going to have a. No matter who you have, you're going to have the ability to have a conflict of interest. What you try, you know, what you have to do is look at how do you deal with it. That's where the magic is. The magic isn't in the conflicts. You're going to have conflicts. I mean, it just happens. The question is, you want to try to make sure that you deal with them in an appropriate way. And I'm, you know.
Well, and Jamie, I appreciate your discussion too, but. And you may not be aware, we had a subcommittee of Dee and Larry, and they spent a lot of time with the president attorney, the proposal, and, you know, reviewing a lot of things. We had a very long staff report from the subcommittee that, you know, was a quality work, and I appreciate the detail that those two went to. Whether we go out for another firm or not, we'll have to redo all that all over again. And the other thing also happens here is, we can just stop. If there is a conflict, this contract here just stops. We don't have any 6-month, you know, continuation or hangover clause or anything like that. It's hour per hour, if I'm correct.
Every professional service agreement for legal services can be canceled at any time by the client for any reason whatsoever.
So that to me is a nice out. If you do run into a big conflict, then you change the ballgame, and you'd probably want to go for whoever or whatever expertise that you're dealing with your conflict, whether it's water, sewer, land, real estate, whatever the case may be. There's always those that are all involved in everything we do. And, you know, just speaking from my experience with the city, almost every piece of property, we have to look at multiple situations from even the past environmental issues and past history of a project with a brownfield program. So it's very complicated, everything we do. So having one or more attorneys on a particular project is pretty much common somewhere along the line with what we deal with stuff. So I think, to me, it's very simple. You just need the attorney for consultation. And then if conflict arises, then you deal with it, just like he mentions, and actually you mentioned, you know, you deal with that. And I think I remember the reason we were meeting was the developer's agreement, if I recall, and we somehow or another hammered that thing out. And that was at a time too when we had the Bayview project. But the Bayview project, is that, am I saying that right? Bayview?
Oral Bay.
Oral Bay is now expired, and it's gone. So that's an example that, you know, it's good to have the history of.
Was Oral Bay a 20-year agreement?
Yes, it was a 20-year agreement, and it's expired.
It was signed in 10, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's gone.
20 years is 11 years ago.
And there's new owners to the property, so that whole project is gone. Yeah.
All right, well, I don't want to get out in the weeds on this stuff.
If I may, real quick, if you guys don't mind, again, it just leads me back to, and I respect the fact that you guys respect the city's attorney and brought him to the table. But again, what is there a reason why we haven't looked for outside counsel or looked at any other firms?
We just put it to the subcommittee to give us a recommendation. You know, and they seem
and
to be
to
satisfied.
Tell you the truth, we were all happy with them.
Yeah.
So there wasn't any reason to search for outside counsel that possibly come from Sacramento or someplace and charge us for all of the driving and all of these extra charges. Everyone here was happy with them. So, and the subcommittee worked very hard for about a month on doing all their research and all their vetting. And we got a very detailed, excellent report from Dee and Larry. We didn't have any reason to
In fact, I remember Larry went back into past customers for your firm that he knew of from his prior experience and training and whatnot, and his job experience, and he made a strong recommendation. So we were kind of following that subcommittee's work.
So, and I explained to our board that there was a subcommittee and it was LOPUD and that they received it. Did you provide them a contract or a proposal? Because I haven't ever seen one. I didn't know if it, I was looking through the packet and there wasn't one in there either.
There's a proposal with a contract attached to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was part of the packet I gave you, but you handed it back.
Okay.
Because we were in a close session.
Gotcha. Okay. I understand. So on this particular item where it says we'll consider the contract options, since this is open session, would this be something that we should have been in our packets for this meeting, or is that still?
Well, it's been.
We already received.
It's been agendized. Mm-hmm. Under the law, there's no requirement that the contract be published, although most public agencies do that.
Okay. I was just curious on that. Okay. And I apologize, you haven't been involved in any of the discussions regarding this, and you're the manager, so if you want to weigh in on anything, Glenn?
I just wrote a note here, and basically I just wrote that my goal is to have the best legal counsel that we can have at SCORE. If there were to ever be any conflicts, having the same legal counsel as the city, then we should have a plan put in place, which it sounds like that's been done for years. A plan put in place to remedy any situation where you guys felt that there was conflict.
Okay.
I just think if we're going down the road to have this road, then we should have it all planned out. That way, if anything, if there is conflicts, we know exactly where to turn and which way to go.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the way I looked at it.
Okay. Absolutely. Go ahead.
Comment. Larry called our general manager and had him talk with Manassian.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the report back today. And so the report, and they're the attorney for LOPUD.
Mm-hmm.
Manassian reported to, and I don't know what individual he talked to, Manassian's several people.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he said that these things come up occasionally on somebody, you know, crossing over to two organizations, mm-hmm. that may be conflict, and that it's not necessarily too uncommon, and that you work it out like they presented and didn't have any problem.
Okay. Good. I'm glad to hear
that. Just from the attorney from LOPUD.
Okay. Good.
And Manassian works a huge amount of water district operations, so I appreciate that opinion. That's a pretty valuable opinion. Yeah.
Okay. Is there any other commissioners that have any other comments regarding this agenda item? No?
I make a motion that we hire Colin Huber for legal representation for SCORE.
Motion has been made by Commissioner Reynolds to hire Colin Huber for legal services.
And I'll second it.
Okay. Second and has been done by Commissioner Fairbanks. Manager Sturdivant, roll call, please.
Yes, Commissioner Reynolds?
Yes.
Commissioner Latula?
Yes.
And Commissioner Fairbanks?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Thank you all for your input.
It
was a great discussion. I much appreciate that.
Thank you. Appreciate
great to have the discussion.
Appreciate
totally.
That. Scott will do a good job for you.
Yeah. And I'm sure you'll do a good job for us, too.
For Thermalito.
Thank you, gentlemen, for being
thank
here.
You.
And your comments?
Yes, very much so.
So does this take effect, Scott? Does this take effect immediately? And you come over here, is this next meeting?
I'm happy to do that.
Should I scoot over?
No, I'm happy to do that. You can consider me in the seat.
Okay.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Yes.
Thank you.
8. I'm trying to remember where I left off because I did some. Okay,
yeah, you did. Eight, grade eight.
Eight. All right, resolution 01-21, investments of sport monies in life. The board will consider proposed resolution 01-21. Take appropriate action.
Yes, so because LAIF gives us better interest rates, SCORE puts their money there for investments. So be a resolution, we have to do this every year.
Yeah, I'd say this is yearly, correct?
Yep, annually, and we just come to you, to the board, and ask permission to do it. And
okay. Is there any questions regarding resolution 01-21 from anyone? Hearing none.
I make a motion that we accept resolution number 0121.
Second that motion.
Okay. Motion's been made by Commissioner Reynolds, seconded by Commissioner Latula to approve resolution 01-21, investments of SCORE monies in LAIF. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Reynolds?
Yes.
Commissioner Latula?
Yes.
And Commissioner Fairbanks?
Yes.
All right. Jump down to number 9, annual transfer of funds in accordance with resolution 03-04.
So yes, Mr. Chairman, this one I have comments. So originally, this was Ray put this into place, and at that time, this basically is to take any savings that we get from having a solar field and take that money and pay SCORE itself back for the actual purchase of the solar field, which at the time was $2.4 million or something like that. And we only have roughly $400,000 to pay back. It's been paid for 18 years in a row. But at that time, SCORE was getting its PG&E true-up bill before this date. So we could actually do a math problem and go, we saved this much, let's put that into the account. Now we don't get our PG&E true-up bill until the middle of February. So doing this now, we basically have just been kind of a year behind. We just go and look at last year's savings and base the deposit on that. And that's, I've recommended that we do the same $100,000 put back that we did the year before. But I would like the board to consider maybe in the future or even this time, we do this after we get the true-up bill. Do this at maybe the March meeting, and that way we can actually do the math, look at how much we saved, and deposit the correct amount.
So your recommendation is for us to hold off on this until maybe the March meeting?
Yes, that would be my recommendation, and then in February we can get the bill and give you an actual number of what we saved and what we should deposit.
Okay, I'm fine with that. Any other commissioners good with that?
That's fine.
I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm right.
Yeah, I just want to tag on to what you said there for a second. And the solar, I have to say, kind of proud of it and all. But it is the only capital expense in any treatment plant that pays itself back.
Right.
And that's how it is. Since you were never here when we did this, basically we borrowed from the capital fund to pay our share. It was a $5 million project. We paid $2.48 million. The board allowed me to have my way as a spoiled child, and we got it. We're paying ourselves back as we promised. There is no basic rule of thumb how to use the available money once it's paid off. But as you guys know, because you were here, we did the pipe patch program, which SCORE contributed
right.
X amount a year for X amount of time. That came out of the solar savings. So we'd be even closer to payoff at this
yeah.
time. So what I'm getting at, gentlemen, is this is something where your money's going to be available to you in the future. And as we start talking about our needs in this upcoming year, I've been asked if I could sit in on the budget and help with the budget. And I wanted you to know that I was asked to sit and go through the budget, that we may talk to you about that for upcoming year, which would be a very positive use for it. Save the ratepayers a lot of money. But anyhow, that's what it was for. We basically borrowed it against ourselves, the people's money, and we're paying it back.
Yeah.
We're almost there, and I'm excited. Good. Who else can do that?
Yeah. Did you say about $500,000 left? Is that what you said?
It's 375,000, 376. It's close to 400,000.
Oh, okay.
I believe it's 376,000.
Minus 100-some thousand for the pipe patch program.
Little background, Scott. Ray is the one who brought solar
to Butte County. So all he was the first guy, he did all the research, study and everything. And when he brought it to the board, they said, no, we don't want to deal with those batteries. He said, no, it's a new system. It goes back into the PG&E lines. And they put the, at the time, the largest tilt panel system in the world right here.
The fifth largest system in the United States and the only one attached to a public entity.
Nice. Yeah. Wow. 2000 or 2001?
Was your dad down here, Chuck, on the board at that time?
You bet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. You bet.
He was my biggest cheerleader.
Still is.
I need the biggest, baddest cheerleader I could find.
And,
but it worked out well. It really did.
And I might ask just a question, too, because the panel's been there, what, 12 years, you say? Or longer?
Since 2002.
Oh, two.
So that's
19 years.
19 years. I'm wondering, and I'm not asking for it at the next meeting, but maybe we ought to see if the technology has improved to add more panels or
so we just
redo or something like
so
that.
So what happened was SCORE got a Micah could speak to this. It was his baby.
Sure. BP, who was the manufacturer of the panels, had a class action lawsuit because of panel failure.
We have a lot down here.
So initially, I think there were 200 or 300 panels that had failed in the first 5 years. And so there was a rebate program that BP had instituted through, I think, a legal matter. And so as panel, we checked them regularly, and as soon as we got enough panels for a claim, we would claim those. Eventually, it went to a class action lawsuit. SCORE was part of that, and we were able to replace the whole system through the program that came out of that class action lawsuit. So the whole system has been replaced. Prior to that complete replacement, we had lost 100,000 kilowatt inverter. And so at that time, to replace that inverter, we decided at that time to go ahead and replace 100K worth of panels because the panels were old. And that was prior to the BP settlement and replacing the whole unit. So the system right now is kind of smorgasbord with different panels from different manufacturers, but the whole system's up and running and it works.
Yeah, we
and it's actually more efficient, a lot more efficient now.
I can add on to it.
The panels are more modern.
The reason this went this direction is because each panel is guaranteed for 25 years.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Why it went this direction. Okay. Now you have a brand new system for another 25.
Wow. Well, that's good to know because yeah. I was just thinking of it. Is it old? Or does it need to be replaced? And sounds like it's already.
But to speak to your
the biggest panel you get was 120 watt. Now they're, I guess, 300 watts. So your footprint, 3 acres,
325. Yeah.
So you're set for the future, so you can build out. Yeah. It's huge. It's amazing.
Yeah. So that's what I was going to comment on your comment, Commissioner Pittman, is with the gained efficiency in the solar system. There is a third of the racking is open.
Wow.
So definitely room for expansion out there, and that'll be on my wish list, and I'll bring that to you guys later.
Oh, good.
I don't want to hit you with too much at one time, but
Beware that saving when we get done with the payments, we start adding on.
That's what I was thinking too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Reynolds. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Good. There's a lot of room out there to do it. So
appreciate that.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so we will table that until March's meeting. We'll jump down to 10, which is contract with Duke Sherwood Contracting for demolition and disposal of the caustic building. So before you, what was the old figure?
So the old figure was $9,669, but that was an estimate for demo only.
Oh, okay.
That didn't include disposal or hauling or testing. Which we had to do. We had to do some testing on it.
Okay.
So at that time, Duke had let Scott know that it could come in another $9,000 higher, which is still significantly less than what we're looking at now. If you wanted me to go into detail on what I talked about with Sherwood Contracting, it actually came in at about $39,000. But we can do some of the work here at SCORE to save money and brought it down to the $31,348.
Yeah.
I had called two other companies. I received no return calls. And to be fair to Duke Sherwood Contracting, they did move a lot on this when I talked to them and told them that's a pretty high price tag. That's like four times what I told them last month. So I don't think that they're trying to gouge by any stretch of the imagination or anything like that. And I can go keep, I continue to look for more if that's what you guys would like to do. I don't know if we'll find a better price.
And I appreciate the idea that our staff would do some of the work. Can you describe what work the staff would do?
So part of that was when Donald Sherwood quoted it, he quoted it like the building still had power in it, the building still had water running to it, the building had, like it was an up, it was a working building. Yeah. So we've already taken power out of it except for one line because our security system is attached to it still, but we've already, Mike has already arranged with the security company to come out and move that. We will dig up, cap off the water lines. Another big savings would be they were gonna charge us for fill dirt, hauling fill dirt. We have a giant pile out here. We have our own loader. They're gonna actually dig that exact same area up to put it during the upgrade of the plant. So I told him we can handle with our own equipment, backfilling and compaction and all that stuff to save money there. So that was pretty much how we would save money. We would do the preliminary work and then we would use our material and our equipment. They would actually do the compacting, but we would move the stuff from the pile over to the hole and just be able to save money here and there.
What had happened, Scott, is we have a building out here that holds a caustic material, and 7-8 years ago there was an explosion when the trucker was offloading the material, and it never really got dealt with. And so here we are. That's why the two price differences. Me and my dad actually built that building next to me. But Mr. Chairman, I think the price is only getting higher.
Oh, I agree, 100%.
Waited long enough, and great job, Mr. Manager, for all those negotiations and all of that means a lot. Mm-hmm. A little bit of conversation goes a long way.
And you're right, and I think, again, I think it, and I know this is kind of getting off topic, but the fact that you're our manager and you had history here, knew about the situation, have probably a working relationship with Sherwood, mm-hmm. to be able to have that communication, I think is invaluable to somebody else that didn't know him and didn't know the history behind what happened out there. So I think that went a long way. No, and you put out for three, two people didn't respond back. I know Sherwood Contracting has been around here for probably longer than I've been alive, and they do a great job. So no,
and to be honest, he told me that he wouldn't have called back either if it wasn't us, because they're just, the North State's just, it's right. Going crazy right now. Everyone's building, contractors don't have them. So he only called back because it was score, and he's got loyalty to us, like we have, score showed loyalty to him.
So on the compaction, it should be up to 90%?
Yeah, they'll do the compaction. I misspoke there. Yeah. We'll just shuffle the material for them. They'll do the compaction. We don't have anything.
They can do 95 easy, but, not 95 is not as easy, but.
D's an engineer.
Yeah, I know, he's talking over my head.
That says if we put something down the road, it's a lot cheaper because we already have
take care of it ahead of time.
Yep. It's just a liability we need to see go away.
Above that storage tank. That's.
I'll make a motion that we approve Duke Sherwood Contracting for the demolition disposal of the caustic building at a cost not to exceed $31,500.
Second.
Motion has been made by myself, Commissioner Hatley, seconded by Commissioner Reynolds to approve Duke Sherwood Contracting for demolition and disposal of the caustic building at a cost not to exceed $31,500. And based off the information that we received before from Commissioner Reynolds, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain?
Okay.
10 stuff. Do you want us to hold on a second, Chuck?
No, sir.
Okay.
Only take me a minute here.
Okay, we'll jump down to manager report, manager servant.
Yep. So no operational or maintenance issues this month. Let's see, make sure I got everything. Yep, so the last thing, we kind of covered everything else. The last thing on my manager's meeting in the notes is the, I have two more things. We did do the JPA manager's meeting. We held that, last Thursday?
Yeah.
The city was here, Loa Pug was here, and Thermalito was here. I felt it was a very productive meeting. we kind of lined out some priorities that we all felt were needed to be addressed, both score here just ourselves and as a JPA. And we have further meetings planned, and but I really like the direction that it seems like everyone's teaming up. We're all getting in on the same page and trying to get things done. So that went really well. Next thing.
Let me ask a question too. It's good to hear, because I know the city's particular activity, we've got a lot of work being done as we speak. Mm-hmm. If you've tried to drive on Tibbon Boulevard lately or Montgomery Street, and there's more to come. So it's nice to see everybody understanding what work's getting done.
That was one of our big top of the priority list. Good. Was communication. Just that we're all on the same page. We all know what's going on with each other's entities, and that way, you know, we can help each other out, essentially, and make right. things a little easier on each other.
We had the meeting yesterday for, did you talk about the apartments on Table Mountain?
Good.
160 units going in on Table Mountain and Grand, right, for the first phase, and then the rest will be medium to upper medium income housing.
Same people from the same apartment?
No.
Totally
separate. Totally different.
Just right across the street from them.
Right.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Nice.
Yeah.
So there's more to come, and that's why I would encourage at least some regular meetings to have, and maybe even I'd like to see every agency have a status board. Yeah, just things so that they're aware of what's going on, you know, like 160 units. And I know the 40-unit one passed, that's going, the Prospect View is going next to the recorder's office. And now Ruddy Creek subdivision, that 97 unit, that's moving very, very fast and very forward. So it'd be nice so that everybody knows, you know, where it's cooking, and just have that perception. I'd love to see a status board at each agency to have that, so we all fill it out, and just a little whiteboard, you know.
And I, from the city's perspective, it doesn't matter if, and I agree with that 100%, but you can have a billboard flashing on Oradam Boulevard for 5 years, and they'll say you tried to sneak it through. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Good. So, transparency, really important.
But yeah, I felt that the JPA meeting went really well, and I think that if you talk to your managers at your individual entities, they would probably say the same thing.
Right.
It's nice to have that back organized.
Definitely, and they all kind of made that clear that it was nice, and I appreciated that. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's been lots of communication after the meeting too.
Yeah, we got multiple calls saying, you know, we really do appreciate that you're doing this. And currently we have them scheduled quarterly or as needed. So if we feel like, you know, hey, we got to pick this up due to month to month, things are going mm-hmm. quickly, like you guys are explaining, then we'll pick them up and do them once a month.
Right. Yeah, I don't, and I'm not, I mean, just my thinking might be off, but every once in a while it's on. But all working together like that, you know, not working together, it would be like being on the A's of the Giants and the first baseman trying to beat the third baseman. We're all on the same team.
Exactly.
We're all trying to beat the Dodgers.
Yep. That's right. that, and then my last thing on my manager meeting that we haven't already covered in other things was the SCORE organizational restructure that you guys had asked me and the assistant to the manager, Ray Souza, to work on when I very first became the manager. And we've included the three new job descriptions in your packet. We've included a structural breakdown of the tree. And the main thing we really focused on here, which I agreed 100% with you guys on, was the redundancy in training, certification, knowledge, everything across the board. So what we did is we just tried to build in that overlap into everything so that I have a backup, which would be the plant supervisor. He's got a backup, which would be me and the lead operator. The lead operator's got a backup, which would be the plant supervisor and the guy, you know, and the chemist. We just tried to make sure that everything was covered, all bases were covered. If I get hit by a car tomorrow, your plant supervisor is going to be required to have a grade four as well. So SCORE doesn't stop because I'm not here, you know, which was the big thing that you guys were very concerned about last time, which made a lot of sense. So we'd love to hear any feedback if you guys look at them and you know, have questions or whatever. Love to have feedback. We haven't really addressed any of the finances of this. In my mind, if you're going to request that a person certify higher and give him more responsibility, then he probably should be rewarded with compensation for that.
Well, we have pay scales in place now, right? Oh, we're working on that.
We're working on pay scales.
Okay, that needs to be a priority.
Since these are three new positions, that was my plan, is to lay the positions out in front of you guys this month, let you digest that, and then bring my recommendation, which I will be using the salary survey that we paid for as part of that information to say, I think that this position should probably get this position should probably.
And then realistically, I mean, there's only, I mean, same amount of positions. Mm-hmm. Really, instead of the EMC / lead operator, you split those up. We have a plant, is it supervisor?
Yep.
Is that what you call them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I mean, I like the restructure, and I think you're right. I think we need to, the pay scale needs to be a priority now that we have these positions dedicated to what we'd like to see. I definitely think we need to talk salaries on those. And the only question I had is when are you able to take the FAR test, Micah?
I've applied. I applied last year, actually, just the COVID thing. The state has actually canceled the last two exams. They applied. They made an opportunity for an emergency exam for individuals in certain circumstances, and we actually applied for that for our OITs that we hired at the beginning of the year.
Which we got.
And they were able to work through that process. So it's kind of a waiting game now. I'm studying currently, because the next cycle, the state typically tests in April and October. So that next test cycle is coming up. I'm anticipating them having a test ready in April, but we'll know more probably not until about 2 or 3 weeks before the actual testing.
Okay. Well, good. You're preparing. You know, yeah. That's good.
And with Micah's new situation, where if this passes and now we're going to say you have to have a grade four, now we might be able to apply for the same reasoning that we were able to apply for the OITs to take a test, because now his certification is required for a job. So, and they're pretty sympathetic to those type of cases. They're not going to want to see Micah lose his job because they're not offering tests.
Did you mention your two that did pass?
They did pass, yes. Yeah. They're both grade two operators
now. Two,
so we're pretty happy, pretty proud of I call them the kids. But
short question in your restructure organization, mm-hmm. Where does the chemist?
No more chemist.
Change the title.
What's his change of title? She's still got the same duties, but she'll now be the environmental compliance supervisor.
Okay.
So to be quite honest, the chemist for years at SCORE has been doing a bunch of other work because there's just not 40 hours worth of chemist work in there. So it's kind of been piecemeal work here, do this. We felt like these are in the same hemisphere, environmental compliance and laboratory compliance. It's a lot of sampling, it's a lot of testing, it's a lot of number crunching. We felt like it should be right up a chemist's alley. Mm-hmm. So if you notice on if you look at the job description, we basically kept any of the educational requirements and knowledge requirements geared toward a chemist, because we felt like you could take a chemist, teach them the environmental compliance stuff, rather than, you can't give an environmental compliance inspector, I can't just say, hey, Micah, you're a chemist.
Yeah.
That just doesn't work like that.
Right.
So we felt with the same move, we felt like Micah, as a lead operator, was having to spend, you know, 25-30% of his time doing environmental compliance stuff, which kept him out of the plant, which we just felt like it wasn't a good, we understand why Ray set it up that way when it happened, because he was kind of forced in that manner, but, you know, after 10, 15 years, we feel like we got a better idea.
Well, personally, I think it's a wonderful idea. I mean, it makes a whole lot of sense.
I mean, we're basically gaining another, a full-time lead operator is what we're gaining out of this. And now Kendra won't be scrambling for work. She'll have plenty of work. So,
good.
We think it's a win-win, to be honest.
Yeah. So a little history on that, Scott. There was no positions and pay scales established. They had grade ones, twos, three, four, but they didn't have positions
and no pay scale in place. So that's why we're working on that. And Mr. Manager, I wanted to remind you that that study, that report, belongs to us. It belongs to SCORE. So don't hesitate to contact that agency, because I know that the last attorney interacted with that agency all the time, but that report and everything inclusive of it belongs to us.
Yep.
So now that that attorney is gone, you can either pass that on to the new attorney, or you can contact them yourself.
Yeah, I can probably just contact her myself.
Yeah, because I'm sure there'll be a few questions for tuning things up.
Yep. So other than that, I have nothing to report. Other than what I've reported, I have nothing else for my manager.
Okay. Visitor comments. I didn't know if you wanted to say anything, Ray, about your daily report of the training discussion with manager. I thought it was very well put together. I liked it.
Yeah, just let me add real quick. You know, it's February here. I was asked to come down and figuring it'd be a few months. Why I'm still here, I'm not sure. But it's taken a little bit longer because I'm only doing a couple hours a day. These guys don't have 4 hours a day to sit around with me.
Sure.
It's just not, I'm sorry, it's not in cars. So I'm doing 2 hours, two and a half, three.
And I've had to cancel them on some of those.
Yeah, and then COVID, we were going, you know, half shift, so Micah couldn't be part of it. So we've got to sit down and kind of catch Mike up on stuff that when he was off shift, wasn't here. We're trying to bring him up to speed of what Glenn and I worked on. Then Glenn did ask me, and I want to make sure you guys understand that he asked me to help him support putting together the budgets, the budget, and explain to him how we formatted it throughout the years, and how all the funding takes place, and what we do with it, and how we present it to you, and stuff like that. So, if I mean, you
I'm
guys asked me to come down here,
it.
So it's,
oh yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And you know, I looked on my PERS account. I've only worked 79 hours. As of January 10th, so, but we need, I just want to say these guys are really pleasant to work with. You guys, you did good. They're going to be just fine. They're going to have bumps and scrapes like I did, like Bob did, like Charles did. But you guys, relax.
Mm-hmm.
It cool. wasn't like when Scott left. Just relax. Yeah. You guys are really hands.
I felt much better.
We were never worried.
But I may be here another month or so. It depends what they want and how we get through it.
Sure.
And
yeah.
So.
Totally fine with that.
Yeah, as far as that, we're like I said, we're going to concentrate on the pay scales. And if we can wrap that up pretty quick, then we'll jump right into the budget. If not, then Ray will probably be here for the next month as well, at least to help me with the budget. I feel like personally that's going to be my biggest learning curve is I've never been in charge of a multi-million dollar budget, so it'd be great for me to get advice from someone who has.
Right.
So
Mike, do you have anything?
No sir, I'm good.
Scott?
No sir, thank you very much. I appreciate the vote of confidence.
Yeah, I'm going to speak here in a second on my part of that too. So, Dee?
No, I don't have any.
Susan?
No.
So I will say this. At the last meeting, and you brought it up, Chuck, everybody seemed to be in agreement, and I was. I full confidence in you, and I kept doing the same thing, going, is anybody going to be willing to put their reputation and everything else on the line over what they're going to get here? And I didn't see that, and I felt very confident and comfortable with you. We go back to our board, discuss what we discussed here. We get another legal side of it, and it started making me think again and going, well, yeah, we didn't do our due diligence. And then we're sitting here today, and you're speaking, and it all came back to the other meeting that everything, it made sense. So I want to say welcome aboard. I look forward to working with you when I'm sitting down here. I have the full confidence in you and your group. I'm looking forward to the future. I feel like we're finally got a manager, we got an attorney group, that we can really start focusing on SCORE business instead of everything else that seems like has been taken over for us over the last several months. Yeah, so.
Well, if I may speak, Mr. Chairman, what it felt like down here, and not to denigrate
anyone or former employees or anything, but it what it felt like was there was a little private club,
yeah,
and then there was us.
Yeah.
And that's why I had to remind in open session a few times that remember that you work at the pleasure of the board. You don't, this is not, that you're not your own team. Mm-hmm. You all work for us. And it was, I'm telling you, I just feel so relaxed now that we're not looking behind us to, you know, for the next rocket going to be launched, you know. I just feel like everyone is here for the best interest of SCORE, and I really appreciate that. I think this is a really good team, and I mean, everyone that has been asked to do anything has stepped up and just done so well. I just really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. When we're here, we're representing SCORE. You know, we're here as members of the city, but we are, that's why the JPAs were formed, was so we could represent our entities together, mm-hmm, in best interest of all of us. So that's why we're here. We're not looking out for our team and you're looking out for your team, and we formed a team so we could all look out for each other. And I just, I appreciate it.
This is so positive for everything, Scott, the whole group, no matter how anybody feels. But you have a huge project coming.
Yes.
And you're going to need a reputable, I mean, believe me, when you do projects like this, you have an attorney in one arm and an engineer in the other.
Yes.
That's just, as you know, that's just life.
That was a big part of our...
It has to be looked at that way. So, you know, gentlemen, good luck when it all comes, because it's going to be major. Mm-hmm. I know I've dug up every end of this plant there is, and I do not envy these guys. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it's going to be major.
Well, it's like I said, when these big projects come, I work on a lot of big projects, a lot of development, so does Dee. The shark fins get bigger. And I'm telling you what, we needed a bigger boat.
You were talking about a conflict. My first year here, we had a conflict with Leo.
Yeah.
We had the construction on the wildlife area, and he'd been representing the contractor, and he had a power.
Oh.
Yeah, and so we had to acquire other.
Sure,
so, happens. You know, that's what happens.
Well, and you know what? Here's the thing. And I, since we're speaking freely here, there's a big difference. There's all kinds of attorneys, but when you have, and bless her heart, nice person. We all agree that we liked her. But when you have, it's like going to a doctor. If I need heart surgery, I'm not going to a podiatrist. You know, I hope I'm not. but you know what I mean? We need a specialist for what we're doing here, not just somebody that has Esquire behind their name. There's a big difference in representation. So I'm really confident. I'm thankful. A great manager, great. And you know, Glenn, I've got to tell you that just you and your attitude of being so willing to listen and learn, that's big. You don't realize it because that's just who you are, but for those of us in leadership who have dealt with obstinate employees, it's big.
Yeah,
so I appreciate that. So thank you for being open to that.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Can Dave say something now?
He always says.
Well, I actually was going to go the other way. I'm looking at the next project to work on, and one of the things I was going to suggest is, now that we have our attorney in place, and it probably, and I'll go with your suggestion on it, but what I would like to do is have even maybe our next subcommittee review the policy manual, which I don't know, it's been reviewed for a long time. And in fact, I've even looked at you folks, you two being the policy maker of the subcommittee, because I know things have changed dramatically. And I, probably once your reorg is done, would be the better time to look at the policy manual.
Yeah.
That's, you know, pretty thick.
Yeah.
I have a copy of it, and I thought, you know, And it would take our legal staff and subcommittee to take a look at all that stuff, because I don't, Ray, do you remember last time it was, policy manual was revised?
You know, the revisions come as basically as needed.
As needed, yeah.
You know, because you don't reinvent the wheel as state law, federal law, or some HR law comes along, you basically amend it to reflect the changes and stuff like that. There is some policies in there that go back to the 70s that are just as concrete today as they were back then when Charles or even Burke did them.
Right.
So all in all, the source policy book, as I went through it when I come back, it's I'm going to say it's about as solid as it can be right now. Again, it's, you know, being part of special districts, you know, we get the notifications of basically required changes for local governmental agencies, which is enormous. So yeah, that's something that can be done, but I would make it after all this other stuff these guys got to do.
And that's my only thought, because I know that, and you're very correct on the special district is, but there's also the little legal nuances that come forward that not everybody gets to look at. And you guys, this agency doesn't have the administrative staff to look at that all the time. And especially we have an attorney that deals with municipal governments all the time. You know, a quick review by that attorney might be all that's necessary just to see. Because even today, I've had this AB 1825 training almost probably 15 or 20 times, and there's a couple things I learned today, you know? So it always, it's the state of California seems to regurgitate itself every year. So that's all I'm saying, is that we look forward to that as a future agenda item for subcommittee work, and just more of an upgrade.
Your biggest fear of the near future is your new MTDS permit.
Yeah.
It comes by the pound, and it's and truthfully, every plant has the same fear.
Right.
And, you know, and stuff like that. It's going to be extremely important with Scott and his firm to review the bid documents for this that's coming forth for this project here. All the T's and I's have to be.
Yeah, I got some of those for you.
Yeah.
Okay. If there's no other comments, it is 6:22, meeting adjourned.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Good meeting.